So my name is Neil. I'm a postdoc at the USDA, and I'm going to talk about phenomic analysis of salinity effects on lettuce. Although the title is phenomic analysis, I combined it with some physiological studies also. So everyone knows about lettuce, but just to give you a brief background about its economic importance, lettuce comes in many different shapes, sizes, and colors. California is one of the largest producers of lettuce. About 75% of U.S. lettuce production takes place in California, and it's a $2.5 billion commodity. It's a good source of vitamins, carotenoids, antioxidants, and other phytonutrients. It's an important vegetable crop, and it's one of the most consumed salad vegetables in the United States. Many of the lettuce-growing districts in California currently face problems due to rising salinity, as you can see from this map on the left. And the mouse cursor should work, but it's not. Okay, so as you can see, the colors which are blue are the ones which are non-saline, and as you go higher in the scale of the colors, the more towards red, it's the higher salinity. Lettuce is highly sensitive to salinity, and even modest increases lead to some significant reduction in fresh mass and thus fresh yield. As you can see from the figure on the right, even modest amounts of increasing salinity lead to a significant decrease in the fresh mass. And thus, managing salinity becomes a topmost priority. Salinity is not just a problem in California, but also around the world. I'm showing you a picture here that I found on the internet of a field that was infested with salinity, and this is a field in Ethiopia. The white parts are the salinity infested parts. As you can see, there's no vegetation growing there, but on the other patches you can see some green vegetation growing. There are different causes of salinity. It could be due to climate change, over-fertilization, seawater intrusion, deposits from salty water, river water, and so on. And it's predicted that 1 to 2% of total global irrigated area will decrease each year due to salinity. Although it's difficult to accurately estimate how much are the economic losses due to salinity, they're predicted to be around $23 billion. Thus, managing salinity becomes important. There are many different ways in which soil salinity can be reduced, but the most long-term way of dealing with salinity is to develop tolerant cultivars. So work on developing salinity-tolerant cultivars has been going on in our lab. It started with screening of about 3,800 lettuce genotypes from the USDA germplasm collection for salinity tolerance, and this was based on scoring fresh weight. Of these 3,800, 178 were selected for further testing in the greenhouse, and fresh mass, dry mass, chlorophyll index, and photochemical efficiency were measured. Of these 178, I selected one genotype from each lettuce type that represented the extremes of sensitivity or tolerance to find out the contrasting phenotypes from each. And these experiments were all conducted in controlled conditions of the growth chamber. And I conducted phenomic analysis along with a detailed physiological study. So the genotypes which were selected for this study are listed over here. On the left-hand side are the lettuce types. Here are the tolerant genotypes, and here are the sensitive genotypes. The experimental parameters consisted of sterilized sand, Hoagland nutrient solution, either without or with salt. Then seeds were germinated on petri plates filled with distilled water to ensure synchronized and uniform germination. And then similar sized 2-day-old seedlings were transplanted into pots. These pots were hydrated with Hoagland nutrient solution without salt and were continuously monitored using sensors for soil moisture. The growth chamber was maintained at 20 degrees Celsius, about 200 micromoles of light, and 50 to 70% relative humidity. Salinity was applied right after transplanting the 2-day-old seedlings and consisted of 3 different concentrations. So the top line is no salinity, and these are the 3 different concentrations which we used. These are the salinities which growers commonly encounter in the field, and so we chose to use the same ones for all of our testing. So just to refresh your memory, electrical conductivity is measured in Siemens, and the more salts that are dissolved in a solution, the higher is the number or value for the electrical conductivity. So as you go down this list, you will see the electrical conductivity increasing, going from medium, high, to very high. So in week 1, we applied 10 millimolar sodium chloride, 5 millimolar calcium chloride. In week 2, 20 millimolar sodium chloride, 10 millimolar calcium chloride. And in weeks 3 and 4, 30 millimolar sodium chloride and 15 millimolar calcium chloride. Just showing you one example of a sensitive genotype and a tolerant genotype. So on the left is the control treatment in both of these, and on the right is the salinity treatment. So can you guys tell which one might be sensitive and which one is tolerant? I guess it's pretty easy to tell, right? The genotype Laura is more sensitive because you can see there's a higher reduction in fresh mass or the total leaf area compared to early bird. And so this is an example of our sensitive and tolerant genotypes. So non-invasive analysis were conducted 4 weeks after transplanting the 2-day-old seedlings, followed by invasive analysis. The non-invasive analysis, one of them was the phenomics analysis, which consisted of about 12 trays, each with 20 spots, for a total of 240 spots. This is a robotic arm on which are mounted LED arrays, an RGB sensor, and a floor cam sensor which senses the chlorophyll A fluorescence. The height can go up or down, and light pulses are applied at the indicated intervals over here for measuring the Kautsky effect. The dark red arrows represent far red light. Of course, it generates a lot of numbers from these. The numbers can be converted into false color. And this is just an example. Don't read too much into the meaning of this, but we can visualize increasing fluorescence or increasing FV over FM or NPQ or other values from these kind of measurements. So here you can see probably these red ones are bigger and these are smaller. They are salinity treated. We can also visualize and this is an example of rising non-photochemical quenching, or NPQ, after application of each subsequent light pulse, which is stressing the plant out more. Now, these numbers were all collected and statistics were run on these and were combined with some physiological studies. So the gold standard for lettuce is to measure fresh weight, because we all eat fresh lettuce, not dry lettuce. So the blue are the bars showing fresh weight in control, and the yellow ones is the fresh weight under salinity conditions. And on top of the bars are the percent decreases in fresh weight under salinity conditions compared to control. We observed a significant reduction in fresh mass in almost all of the genotypes except for PI171676A and PI253468. The genotypes which had 16 to 31% reduction in fresh weight were called tolerant or classified under tolerant. The ones which had 60 to 67% reduction in fresh weight and salinity were classified as sensitive. And the ones which had 39 to 54% reduction in fresh weight were classified as intermediate. Excuse me. So The morphological and physiological variables which we analyzed are listed over here, and the chlorophyll A fluorescence variables are on the right. So there were a total of approximately 101 variables analyzed from about 2 to 5 experimental replicates, each with about 4 biological replicates. And since this is a lot of data, we narrowed down the variables from chlorophyll A fluorescence to only the calculated ones, starting from here to here. So there were a total of about 45 variables. To make sense of the complex data, we subjected this to principal component analysis and correlation analysis to understand the complex relationships between the different variables. First principal component analysis consisted of intermediate, sensitive, or tolerant genotypes, like I showed you earlier. On the left is the control, principal component analysis on the control. And as you can see, there's no clear clustering of any of these. They're all more centrally distributed. But under salinity conditions, both the intermediate, sensitive and tolerant form their own clear clusters. So the sensitive genotypes, which are in green color, are more characterized by low values of NPQ L1, L2, NPQ D1, non-photochemical quenching D1, and so on. Whereas the tolerant genotypes are characterized by high values of photosynthesis, leaf transpiration, stomatal conductance, vapor pressure deficit leaf, total leaf area, fresh weight, dry weight, and so on. Wanted to see what we get when we combine all of the genotypes and all of the treatments. And it was pretty interesting to see what came out here. So the wild types clustered separately from the cultivated lettuce. And then butterhead, leaf type, and romaine formed their own distinct clusters, but crisphead was more centrally distributed. So the wild types were characterized by high photosynthesis, stomatal conductance, and leaf transpiration. And the leaf types, romaine and butterhead, each had their own respective distinctive clusters, which I won't list here right now for sake of time. We conducted the correlation analysis. Again, this is a pretty busy figure, but what I want you to focus on is on the left is the tolerant genotypes, and on the right side is the sensitive genotypes. You can see that the tolerant genotypes have more of a blue color, which signifies strong positive correlation, whereas the sensitive genotypes have more of a red color, which signifies more of a strong negative correlation, and that is true in other variables too. So just to give you a short recap of this, a strong positive correlation between FV over FM. FV over FM strongly positively correlated with NPQ, QN, QP, total quantum yield, and relative fluorescence decline in the tolerant. And it was the exact opposite trend in the sensitive genotypes. Stomatal conductance showed a strong negative correlation with FV over FM. Dry weight, fresh weight, total leaf area, and photosynthesis in the tolerant genotypes, and the exact opposite was true in the sensitive genotypes. Leaf transpiration showed a strong negative correlation with total quantum yield in the tolerant genotypes, but there was no such correlation in the sensitive genotypes. Okay, so to summarize, LoRa, eruption, and parasylin costs are the most sensitive genotypes with about 60 to 67% reduction in fresh weight. Mayfair, PI171676A, and PI253468 are the most tolerant, with 16 to 31% reduction in fresh weight. And the other three are intermediate. And I guess I'll... So the PCA analysis indicates that maybe there's a gene or genetic locus in the wild or tolerant cultivars, which might be responsible for these traits, and it probably hasn't been identified yet or incorporated yet in lettuce that we would like to find and incorporate in new breeding lines. And the specific variables which we identified as important can be selectively measured in future phenomics studies for quickly screening breeding populations. I would like to thank my advisor, Dr. Mo, for giving me this wonderful project to work on for ideas and resources, Dr. Simcoe for excellent discussions, resources, and ideas, everybody else at ARS who has helped me with this project, also the folks at Photon Systems Instruments for help with the phenomics, and Arnolfo, who was a great intern who also worked on small parts of this project. So thanks a lot, and I'll take any questions you have.
We've got 1 minute time for question.
Some of your resistant, the reduction in fresh wave, they had a lower reduction in fresh wave, mm-hmm. the resistant types, but they were also very small plants.
Yes,
so
that's true.
The good news is they're resistant. The bad news is no lettuce.
Those were the wild types.
Yeah.
So the wild types end up being smaller in total fresh weight than the cultivated ones. They just grow taller, but they don't accumulate as much of a fresh mass. But yeah, they might have some characteristics which, yeah, it comes at a trade-off. You're absolutely right. Yes? Yes, absolutely we can. So the question is, can we use the parents in future breeding programs? And the answer is yes. We would also be looking at crossing the tolerant genotypes with each other to develop breeding populations. And we're conducting more analysis, actually, which would give us a much better idea about which ones would yield us the best results. We haven't done it, but I have been at meetings where other labs are working on qualities of it, and they say that it tastes better if it's a small amount of salinity.
Yeah, that,
yes.
I found that in tomatoes, I know.
Yeah. I haven't tasted them myself, but that's what I've heard from other scientists.
So let's appreciate our speaker.